This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Horse World, this is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 2nd, episode 1419, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. The Hit'em crew is on the road today on their way home from the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event. So enjoy this previously aired masterpiece from the Hit'em Audio Vault. On today's edition, the much-anticipated or dreaded, depending on which side of silly your sense of humor resides, the Minions movie review.
Woohoo!
Start the show. And then next up, we're going to get to know one of the youngest Thoroughbred Makeover Project competitors ever at a mere 14 years of age. And galloping across the finish line to thunderous applause, Justin Zayat. Yes, that Zayat, the one celebrating with his family in the owner's box on Belmont Day, when American Pharoah made history by winning the Triple Crown, is going to be here. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Yeah, looking forward to that. That's all coming up on today's show. Now, if you're here on Friday and going, where's really bad ads? Well, we had Justin Zayat only could book for 10 o'clock. So if he does show up, which we're hoping and we're assuming he does.
Hope
yes.
He doesn't get called away to some important meeting.
Then we will bypass really bad ads this week, and Justin will be brought to you by EquityAFG.com. And if we can't get him on the phone for whatever reason, something comes up, then we do have really bad ads standing by.
That's right.
So, in the wings. Yep. So we had to do priorities today. And apparently,
Justin would be so proud to be on the segment that's normally
really bad ads. Yes.
Really bad ads. Yeah.
Seems like he has a sense of humor. Well, we'll find out.
We'll find out.
All coming up on today's show should be a lot of fun. I was actually just going through my mind going, how many more of these could I get away with? But
how many more times can you play that sound file?
I know.
Before I come over there and blow it up.
Can we just play it for the whole first half hour? So this daily Winnie goes out to Bob, Stewart, and Kevin. That's Woo! Right. It goes out to the Minions. Jennifer and I, as promised, got tickets for the first showing of the Minion movie here in Ocala. It was pretty full theater.
Yeah.
And it was us, and it was a wide-ranging audience. It was everything from senior citizens down to tiny little kids. A lot of kids. There were a lot of kids, a lot of parents, and a lot of people without kids like us there. So we weren't the only ones looking weird.
We were the only ones wearing fan wear.
Yes, we had our Minion shirts on. We were there. We were representing.
Yeah.
And
nobody else had their fan wear.
No, nobody else had Minions on. As a matter of fact, we got a comment when we were handing in our tickets. The girl went, oh, I know which movie you're going to.
Yeah, clever. Dang, yeah. She's quick.
So we'll do our review right now of the Minion movie. This is a spoiler-free review. It was a blast. You know, the critics have pretty much been panning this movie, saying, and I can understand why, because they have no sense of humor. Usually critics just don't. They want something that has some moral compass to it and is just, depressing. Well, this was not that. This was I have never heard Jennifer laugh like that in a movie ever. You laughed harder than I think I've heard you laugh in a very, very long time. This was better than 100 really bad ads put together. It was, now you can type in here, Jennifer, to this, but one of the things that it really reminded me of, it was very reminiscent of the old Warner Brothers Roadrunner Daffy yes. or Donald Duck kind of cartoons.
Yes.
It was very much that. It really went back to those days of the old cartoons where there was nonsensical violence where nobody got hurt, you know.
Yes.
It was actually kind of the Minion movie was kind of a very violent movie, but then Despicable Me were violent too.
Right.
They
poked fun
yes.
at some things that are not real PC in a very light and humorous way. So film critics who have a tendency to take themselves a little bit too seriously, I think. I don't think they appreciated the humor in things like blowing up Napoleon. Now, that's not a spoiler, that's in all the trailers.
Yes.
So
right. yeah.
I don't think they appreciated the humor in that. And there was some dark humor in there, but it was funny because listening to since the theater was really quite full, we could really hear everybody laughing. And the kids were having a blast. They didn't care that it was quote gallows humor. Literally, they thought it was funny. They were laughing out loud.
There was a lot of adult humor in this that kids would go right over kids' heads.
Well, there was a lot of satire in there.
Yeah, our age.
If you were born in 1990, you wouldn't get it.
The music track was great. A lot of Beatles music, which is not... that's not a spoiler either because that was in the track, but in the previews. But there were some references that I would say people under 40 aren't going to get.
Yes, unless you are a fan of television and movie history, you might not get some of the... On the surface, they're funny because of the slapstick part. There's plenty. I mean, it's
plenty
slapstick 98% of the time. You'll get that part, but there was a deeper bit of sarcasm in there if you're a little bit of a fan of movie and television history. Yeah. There's great little nuggets in there.
And I really hate the new politically correct cartoons. I just can't watch them. So, you know, the fact that this really took us back to the Warner Brother days made it hilarious and very Roadrunner-esque. And, you know, I don't know that there was one minion hurt in the making of this movie. I really don't think there were any minions hurt in the making of this movie. A lot of evil people hurt in the making of this movie, but not so many minions. It was a well-done, funny movie. One of the critics, several of the critics, were complaining that it was too violent for little children. There were some scenes in there where I was really paying attention to the audience around me, and we had a lot of little kids right around us. And there was one scene where one of the kids cried, but with that kind of violence in this movie, they came immediately back to something funny and it took it all away immediately. They didn't let it linger. So they really did a good job with that too. I gotta believe that there are some surprises. No spoilers, but there is some surprises that caught us off guard, especially at the end. So pay attention to that.
My absolutely, even over Kevin Stewart and Bob, my favorite character in the entire movie, which is one of our sub-heroes, you know who it is, the Queen.
Yes.
She was awesome.
Yes. Well, I will say this. I don't know that the British are going to like this movie as much as we do because it pokes a lot of fun at the British. So
but it's funny.
It is funny. It's very funny. It's very funny, but they really got every British British stereotype there was in that movie. It was
They're
very funny
there.
That way.
Absolutely.
It was very good that way. So if we were to rate this movie on us, we usually use a bale of hay with 6 flakes. I would say I'm going to give it no flakes. I am going to give it a round bale. This gets a round bale. And that's in honor of everybody who's made their round bales in their fields in Dominions.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
This is 1, 2, 3 round bales lined up. 1 for Bob, 1 for Stuart, and 1 for Kevin. It was an excellent movie. If you're just into laughing for about 2 hours, then you got to go see this. Go see it in a theater. Go see it with a bunch of other people, I would say, because the whole audience was just cracking up. There was applause from little kids to parents at the end of this one.
Yeah, people clapped, which was so nice.
Yeah, you know, we went to see Jurassic World here. You know, it was so funny because we went to see Jurassic World, which was what, made $2 billion? There was no clapping at the end of that movie because I think everybody was kind of numb, you know? Yeah. But this one was just so funny. And we will say this. Stay through the credits at the end.
I left.
There is what are those called? Easter eggs. All the way through the credits, all the way to the very end. So stay through the credits. There was some very funny stuff through the credits. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to hang around for that.
Yep. I'm still singing that song at the end. There's no singing because Glenn always hates it when animated movies sing a la Frozen.
I hate it when regular movies sing. What are you talking about?
When the Minions sing, you sing along. That was fun.
Yes, it was a good time. It was a very good time. Yeah. So you'll like it. Head out to see it, and let us know how you feel.
Thank us later. Yeah, get the big popcorn.
Yeah, let us know how you feel on your Facebook page. And we went to get ice cream after because they actually have sugar-free ice cream. I can have it this one ice cream place right by the movie theater, and that was impossible because everybody from the movie went to get ice cream with their kids after. So we had to bypass that. All right, we have some celebrity news in the horse.
Oh, celebrity!
World.
Yeah, oh, celebrity I always love news. That.
Yeah, this is interesting and kind of creepy all at the same time.
We aim to please. Something
there's
for
this
everyone.
Vaulter. She's the most decorated American vaulter of all time. She is. Hold on, Jennifer. Hold on. Debbie Laux just woke up. And I am typing her a note that says, can you wake Jamie up for us? She didn't show. Now, Debbie's not there, so maybe she knows somebody there that can go knock on her door and do the knock. Anyway, there's this Rosalind Ross is 24 years old. She is the most decorated American vaulter of all time, and she has been riding since the age of 9. And Jamie is trying to call on the phone now. I don't know what to do about that. Should I take it and you guys can just listen? Yeah, let me do that. Hello.
Hi,
Jamie.
You're on the air.
Are you there? Oh, no. She's not there. I don't know what happened. We know she's awake anyway at this point. So we'll see what happens there. But she's the most decorated American vaulter of all time. I actually met her and the rest of the American vaulting team in 2010 when they won the gold at the World Equestrian Games in Kentucky. Woo-hoo. Well, the reason that I'm bringing her up is she has now left the world of vaulting and has decided to become a writer, moved to California, and did an interview with Mel Gibson for a Mel Gibson project. Well, now a source confirms to People Magazine, and by the way, several other sources, it wasn't just People Magazine, confirmed to several other sources that Mel Gibson has struck up a romance with the young film writer who happens to be the champion equestrian vaulter. Now, Gibson is 59 and she is 24, which is where the creepy part comes in. They recently spent time together at his Costa Rica compound. Now, I looked
up... That just sounds creepy by itself.
I know. Anybody that has a compound, it sounds like something is going on in there that shouldn't be. Yeah. But I checked on his Costa Rican compound, and it is 500 acres. So he has a nice little compound down there in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's dating a much younger equestrian. So I just thought I'd bring the creepy...
thank you.
Creepy entertainment news to you today.
Yeah, thank you.
So now what I wanted to tell you about was a fell pony auction that the Queen was involved in. There was a guy by the name of Thomas Capstick, who is one of the top fell pony breeders in England, and he passed away, and the estate wanted to have an auction of 53 of his ponies, and they decided to publicize it and really make a big deal out of it, and it's good they did. They had and if anybody doesn't know fell ponies, they are the cutest little ponies. They really are. They're adorable ponies, and they have... They had this auction over the weekend, and they had over 1,000 people show up for this auction of 53 ponies. And they've never seen that many people at the auction house before for horses or ponies like this. So they actually, the queen sent two of her people over, and the queen spent £3,000 and bought one of the fell ponies. She has actually bought ponies from this guy before. Apparently, he was one of the top breeders of fell ponies in the country, and he had almost a feral bunch of ponies that he had large acreage, and he had one of the most untouched kind of herds out there in England. So they were well sought after and well bred, and the queen had bought several of them, but she bought another one, which makes you wonder if it isn't one for one of her great-grandchildren or one of her great-grandchildren, actually. So we'll find out about that a little bit later. But there was an unidentified American woman. There was an unidentified American woman who apparently bought a number of the ponies, and they don't know who that was, but she bought four of them and spent $22,000 on her purchases. So we might hear about who bought them later on. They're usually not cheap. Fell ponies go for quite a mark. They're on my bucket list. I'd love to own and drive a fell pony at some point because they're really, really cute.
Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Such a perfect landing. Yeah, I'm still alive, not sure how I survived. It was a hell of a ride till it ended. I guess that's what you get when you leave. You don't always end up on your feet. Oh, there's easier ways I could go. True consequence of a fast turn. Every up, every down, every single go round, every fall I have found makes me stronger. So I'll knock all the dust off and then I'll get back in the saddle again. Oh, there's easier ways I could go. I'm
Jennifer's getting our first guest lined up, but we have a co-host here. Hi, Jamie.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we had a lot of expense at your, you know, we had a lot of fun at your expense the first half hour.
Just like no, that. I bet you were worried sick about me.
We
don't
were.
Lie.
We were really worried sick. All the listeners were getting in on it and speculating. It was a lot of fun, actually.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was out partying all night, you know, at the bar, at the club.
I thought
here.
Yeah.
And actually, I watched 50 to 1 and had some wine and slept in my trailer. And I slept so much that I just kept sleeping, I guess. I turned my alarm off and just kept going.
For those that don't know, Jamie is still at the end of her, fifth day at Flag Is Up Farm in California, doing a Mustang training clinic that lasts 2 weeks long. And I guess you're probably getting a little worn out by this point.
I'm pretty tired because not only am I doing, you know, 8 or 9 hours of the Gentling Wild Mustangs course, I'm also riding a horse before and riding a horse after, or riding two horses after. I'm trying to keep both my horses ridden every day. I mean, I'm here. I don't have to hire a babysitter to ride, so I'm getting it done. So I'm pretty darn tired. I'm not going to lie, but that's okay. Still no excuse for oversleeping. I do apologize.
Well, no problem. No problem. Well, you're here now. We have our first guest on the line, too. We've talked a lot over the past 4 years about the Thoroughbred Makeover and how that has grown from really, a couple of horses the first year to they're expecting over 300 horses this year. It's going to be the Thoroughbred Makeover and National Symposium at the Kentucky Horse Park on October 23rd through the 25th, right before the Breeders' Cup happens. So we have a special guest on the line here. I think she is one of the youngest ever competitors in the Thoroughbred Makeover. And of course, this is where they take off the track retired thoroughbreds and make them over to do something. There's no requirements about what they're going to do, but they'll do something and then they'll compete. And they're doing all kinds of different things for the competition this year. And we have a 14-year-old with us. Her name is Isabella, and she is training one of the horses. We also have David Pope, who is president and owner of Sienna Farm, who bred the horse that Isabella is working with. So let's talk to David first. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us from Kentucky right now. We really appreciate you being here.
My pleasure.
Now, tell us about this horse that, tell us a little bit about the horse that Isabella is ending up training now. What was his history and how did he end up being in the Thoroughbred Makeover?
Well, you know, Dewey Square was one of our favorite horses early on. We bred him here at the farm. He was part of our second crop of horses that was born here in the farm. You know, he always had a great personality. He always did everything better than everybody else. And when we decided to keep him for our racing stable, we thought he was going to be on the Triple Crown Trail. And early on, he ran in the Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream Park with the idea that, you know, someday maybe he'll be in the Kentucky Derby. But things didn't quite work out that way, but we still were able to race him a little bit more. He never quite achieved on the racetrack what he thought he would, but he was a magnificent horse, great disposition, great mover, and so we wanted to make sure we found a good home for him.
And how old was he when you retired him from racing?
I believe he's 4 years old when
Four?
We retired him from racing.
Okay, so he didn't run very long before you figured out that wasn't his chosen career path.
Correct. Yeah. You know, when we found out he couldn't compete at the top level, we didn't want to take him down a notch. We didn't want to run him at the lower tracks, the claiming races. We thought too much of the horse and felt a responsibility to make sure he had a good home and a good second career.
Thank you for doing that, by the way. I think too many horses end up just running for years and years and years and never accomplishing much on the racetrack, but they just keep running them. And when they really could have cool careers doing something else,
these guys are magnificent and they're great creatures and they really deserve a second life and a second career and show more what they can do other than racing.
Very good. Well, let's meet Isabella. Hi, Isabella.
Hi, how are you?
Good. It's so good to have you on. Now, how did you find out about this horse and what made you want to do the Thoroughbred Makeover?
Well, my dad knows Sienna, so he told me one day about Dewey, and he went out to go look at him. And, I mean, he showed me a video of him, and I really liked him. And I thought that he had such something special. So then we decided that we'd take him home.
Now, you've been riding quite successfully for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah.
So what did
I've
you...
I've been riding since I was little.
And what discipline do you ride? What do you do?
I do hunter jumpers. Right now I do a lot of jumpers, but we think Dewey could do either.
And you actually have been in Young Riders over at the Horse. You haven't had to travel far for that, but you've been in Young Riders for the last couple of years, right?
No, I haven't. That's for a little bigger stuff than I do right now, but okay. Hopefully I will be doing that one day.
Well, cool. Very cool. So how has Dewey been to work with? What's been his, what are his pluses? And what has been the biggest struggle you've had with Dewey?
Well, of course there are things that are hard for both of us because we're both still learning. But he's pretty good about everything. Since he's a pretty good mover, but sometimes he does get distracted, but when you ride him through it, he gets a lot better. And sometimes he's scared of solid walls, but he just needs support and you just kind of need to help him out and let him know it's okay. But he has a lot of potential to be a great hunter jumper.
Well, that's terrific. Now you've been working with him for how long? How long do you have to work with him before the competition?
Well, I think the beginning of the year is when we really started working with him because we didn't ride him a lot last year. Since we got him at the end of the year. So we just really started riding him this year.
Okay, gotcha. And now the competition's at the end of October. What will you do in the competition?
We are signed up to do the hunters and the jumpers. So we'll be doing a timed course for the jumpers, and we'll be doing, I think, an over fences course for the hunters and a flat class.
Now, let's back up a little bit. I would love for you to tell me what your impression was of Dewey Square the first time you saw him.
Well, I didn't know much about him, but I knew he was out of a very nice sire, Bernardini. And when I first saw him, he had really kind eyes, and he was a great mover. I mean, he's one of the most athletic horses I've ever seen. And he had a very nice brain, so I knew he would be able to go a long way.
And what are some of the methods that you're using to retrain him? I'm assuming there was a little bit of a letdown time between his track time and you. So what type of stuff did you start him with?
Well, we turned him out for the winter. We taking him to like Masterson Station, to get some more miles on him. We've also schooled him at the horse park with my trainer just to get him around so he's used to other places. And we took him over to my trainer's barn, River Mountain Farm, and we rode him around in the ring so he gets a lot more miles and a lot more comfortable in rings.
Okay, so just kind of getting him out and showing him some stuff. And as far as jumping goes, how much are you doing with him now?
Well, we jump him about twice a week, but we do like 2'6", sometimes 3', but we mostly do little stuff to work on his form and all that.
Excellent. Now, David, tell us a little bit about what goes on at Sienna Farm. I have a friend that actually is an owner at Hidden Brook, which is really close to you guys up there in Kentucky. So tell us a little bit about Sienna Farm and what goes on there daily.
Well, we are actually right across the street from Hidden Brook. Here at Sienna, we try and breed a boutique broodmare band. We have approximately 25 brood mares, which we'll have anywhere from 13 to 18 foals every year. We raise them here on the farm, and we will decide when they're a year old which ones we're going to sell and which ones we'll keep for our racing stable.
13 to 18? Did you say 13 to 18?
Yeah, 13 to 18 foals in our crops. There are 2012 crop, we had 11 foals.
Okay.
I think in Dewey's crop, we actually had 22 foals in Dewey's crop. So it'll vary from year to year. But we try and breed, you know, top racehorses. We breed to top sires like Bernardini. So we try and focus on quality rather than quantity.
Yeah, you keep it more manageable. I mean, that number is so, you know, where you hear Lane's End just full 220, you know, I mean, obviously, it sounds like yours is so much more controllable, your area to manage. And so
this year, we have 13 foals on the ground, and I have 16 yearlings. So you, it's definitely more manageable. You definitely learn more about the horses, and you can give each one individual attention.
Which is probably why you decided to have such a nice relationship with Dewey. And how does it make you feel to see this 14-year-old girl taking your big old thoroughbred around?
Very, very happy. You know, I feel a responsibility for these horses. And, you know, when one lands in the hands of a young lady like Isabella, used to her, you know, giving them the love every day. What better life for a retired racehorse and to be able to go out to the horse park and compete this fall? I mean, I'm very proud.
I can't even imagine how exciting that must be to watch one of your babies. Now, do you keep track with a little bit with all of them, or do you put something on the papers, or are you just doing the best you can?
You know, it's very hard to keep track of them because the ones we take to the sale, you know, they can go anywhere. Some of them are over in Europe right now racing. Some of them are in Kentucky. Others, we're not sure exactly where they're training. So we do the best we can. Most of our focus is on the ones that are in our racing stable.
Well, that leads me to the next question, David. Jamie and I have been known to place a bet or two on horses at times. So which one of your horses should we keep an eye on?
Ooh, hot tip.
We're looking for a hot tip, David. Help us out here.
You're looking for a hot tip. I would say watch out for Angel Renee in her next race.
Angel Renee. And where is she? Do you know where she's running next?
You know, she'll probably be running up at Saratoga in August.
Okay. I wrote it down. Angel Renee, Saratoga, August.
That's your hot tip of the day.
Thank you so much, David. We appreciate that. Well, guys, good luck.
You're more than welcome.
Good luck in October. It's going to be an exciting time in Kentucky those couple of weeks for sure. Isabella, good luck with this. There, you know, there's no money on the line, so you'll be fine. Only $100,000, okay? So don't worry about that part. Yeah, yeah.
Just put that out of your mind.
That's no problem.
Yeah.
Well, Isabella, good luck. We're going to be rooting for you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Well, we'll keep an eye on Dewey Square as we come into the Thoroughbred Makeover and National Symposium. Thanks so much, David. What's the website of the farm there?
SienaFarm.com.
S-I-E-N-A farm.com?
Correct.
Very good.
And we also have a Facebook page out there.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Thank you so much, guys. Take care.
You're welcome. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
That is one of the most articulate 14-year-olds we've ever had on the show. She was good.
Now, I had a thoroughbred at 14, but I wasn't training it for a $100,000 thoroughbred makeover. I mean, that's incredible.
In like, 9 months or something, they have to work with these horses. And we're going to try and highlight, there's some fascinating stories coming out of the thoroughbred makeover this year. And we're going to try and highlight some more of them as we go along through the summer and into the fall, because there are just some neat stories like Isabella, who I think has to be one of the youngest, don't you? I don't remember any other 14-year-olds doing this. So that's kind of neat. And what 14-year-old can take a thoroughbred and actually train it to do anything? So good for her.
Well, no, I mean, like I said, I had a thoroughbred. I got him when I was 10. But I don't think I trained him to do anything. He just ran away with me.
That's right.
I mean, that's what we did. We just galloped. I mean, there was no self-control or anything. So that's super impressive. I'm glad. She must have some really good help around her, and that's nice.
Well, I am glad you showed up, because we do have a big guest coming up here in a little bit. It's Justin Zayat of Zayat Racing. And of course, that's American Pharoah's owners. And we're going to be talking to him. And I knew if you missed that, if you overslept and missed that, you were going to be mad at yourself. So.
Trust me. That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, Oh, no, not today.
That's funny. But we're going to, in a little bit here, right before we get the guest on, I have an American Pharoah tribute I'm going to play for you. It's about 4 minutes long, and it'll get you in the mood for talking to Justin. But before we do that, we have a few minutes here. Tell us about what your last couple days have been like over there at Monty Roberts Farm.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just, you know, whether or not I become this super world famous Mustang trainer or not.
Are we going to see you in Mustang Makeover next year?
You know what? I mean, I'm just learning so much about the way that you train horses incrementally. And it just makes it very, it speeds up the learning to do it in increments. But it also, it doesn't freak them out. And it doesn't, I mean, they get upset, obviously, but I'm not being very clear. But anyway, this incremental learning and the training that we have, it speeds things up incredibly quickly for them to be able to get, we got a halter on the wild Mustang on the first day. I mean, certain things are just incredible. But I think even if I don't become a massive Mustang world famous trainer, just learning how to teach this to horses and how to introduce new things to horses. You know, Edward is terrified of plastic bags. Well, now I've learned how to incrementally introduce plastic bags to a horse. So this weekend, I'm going to play with him and get him in the round pen and start to teach him that it's okay. And so I think it's really helping me learn to be a better horse person, just in general. You know, it's such a great thing. Of course, now I really want to come back for other courses. I'm like, oh, I want to do that one. I want to do that one. I'd like to just live here. And like I told you, I think yesterday on Horsemanship Radio, when I was on with Debbie, I'm not leaving. You can end the course, do whatever you want to do. I'm not leaving.
Well, I think didn't Debbie leave yesterday to head back home? Didn't she tell me she was heading back home yesterday, or is she still there?
She headed back home.
Yeah, she was my fallback this morning. Because she was the only other one I knew there that had a phone number I knew. So I was going to call her this morning, and then I went, oh damn, she went back home yesterday, because I was going to have her go knock on your door.
Yeah, and you did call her, and she called me, but I was already walking over here. So
So did you get to ride on the track? They have a racetrack there.
I did. I took Edward out on the racetrack, and you know, I took him out there, and this place is very magical where the deer are here, and they're not hiding. They just walk right by you as you're doing your daily activity.
What did Edward think of that?
Well, that was the thing, is we walk on the track, and there's about 60 deer in the infield. I was like, oh, God.
This is going to go bad.
This could go bad.
They're all going to come across right in front of me, and I'm done.
Exactly. I think his body language was that of, I'm terrified of you, so please don't come near me. And they all stayed out in the infield. But it was funny to watch him. He looks at the deer, and we're right at the beginning of the stretch. And you know he wants to go, but he looks at the deer and he looks at the track and he looks at the deer and he looks at the track. And it was like, I'll pick the track. So we start trotting out and pick up a canter, and on the backside, I'm like, okay, let's just let you go. And I realize after I give him 1 inch of reins as he accelerates from trotting to about 30 miles an hour, maybe 35. I'm wearing his dressage bridle, which is just this soft little French leg snaffle.
With a tiny little bit.
With a tiny little French leg, super soft French leg snaffle. And I thought, I might never stop him. I just might never stop him. And so we round the turn coming back for home. We got there really quick. And, you know, he is a bit spooky. And I start at that moment thinking, you know, what if he spooks? And literally 2 seconds after I thought that, at 35 miles an hour, maybe I got him down to 25 by then, because I was working pretty hard. He totally spooks. He swings to the right. Ugh. I go flying in the air, and somehow through God's grace, I landed back on the saddle because we just spooked together. But there was about 2 feet of daylight between my butt and that tack. And I was just like, it was one of those slow motion moments where you're like, oh, this is going to hurt. But I didn't hit the ground, thank God, because I would have had to buy everybody breakfast. That's the rule here. So and one of the girls was down there watching me, and you know, there's 40 deer in the infield, right? What does he spook at? I flushed a bird, apparently, when I was galloping by. That was a bird. A bird.
He's never seen one of those before.
Never seen a bird. And that's what's so frustrating about that horse is you just never know what it's going to be. It's like an excuse to spook. So it was so fun, and he really remembers his job, and I'm going to try it again maybe, but not for a while.
Maybe a different bridle and a different bit.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna use my cross-country bridle.
Yeah, that
which
might
is,
be good.
Just gives me a touch of break.
Did it bring back memories of you jogging on Keeneland all those years ago?
It's so fun. It is so fun. It's exhilarating and a little bit scary and so fun. So yes, I it did bring back memories. And when I woke up the next morning and the muscles in my back ached and the muscles in my legs ached, it really brought back memories of how much work it is to do that. Because I shortened my stirrups, of course, for that.
You know, I taught sales for a lot of years to salesmen, and we always talked about the light bulb moments. And that's kind of what you're going through with the Mustangs right now, is there's all these, and it's not the big things, it's the little things. It's all the little things that you see when they get it. You're so proud. You're almost like a proud papa or proud mama, and you're going, wow, that's so cool. They just got that. And you see them getting it. But you're living through it with them, and you know, your work getting to that, to that point, working with them to get them to that point, sometimes can be frustrating and sometimes can be easy. It depends on what you're working on. But it's just so rewarding to see the light bulb come on, isn't it? For those little things.
It is. And you know what's also really fun to watch is Monty Roberts is a big giant kid. He loves this stuff. And he loves making progress, and he gets so proud of the horses, and he just almost squeals like a little girl. He just has so much fun. And I was watching him yesterday with one of the Mustangs who kicks literally, repeatedly, constantly when you try to touch his back leg. And he has that big fake arm. And I know a lot of listeners have been like, why do you use that big giant arm? That's so weird. Because of things like this, he goes to run the hand over the butt and the Mustang just fires away, and Monty's holding it, and he kicked that fake arm and it went flying across the arena. So that's why you use a fake arm to touch these horses. It was a total reminder. And that horse kicked that fake arm on one side of his body for at least half an hour. And you know what? Part of me, as the former non-Flag Is Up Farm student, would have just whacked that horse in the butt with that fake arm at least once to tell him stop. You know what? He didn't do it. He just kept going. And the patience that man has with these horses and just displays patience. I was thinking, yeah, I'd have hit that horse in the butt by now with that arm. You know, he kicked me, I'll kick him back. That kind of thing. You know, but that was the old me. The new me would like to have as much patience as Monty Roberts. So yes, there was a light bulb moment at the end, Glenn, where the horse finally accepted it, but it took a long time. And you forget, I'm watching this man basically like hold onto these ropes that these wild Mustangs are like getting away and dragging away, and this remedial abused horse that came in for this clinic. And it just, and I realize that guy's 80. He's 80 years
old
in there.
That fake arm is the reason that he doesn't have a fake arm. You know, it's the reason he still has his arms is that fake arm.
That's true. That is true. But it's just impressive. And he's just an incredible guy. And just the methods are so gentle. It just makes me feel so much better about things I do, because I never wanted to be the person that would smack a horse, you know, or take a whip.
You're not a whip, I mean, or a spur person either. So
no, yeah. I'm not. So this is right up my alley. My little vegan inside me just gets so happy that I'm just no pain. No, it's all fun. It's all good.
Well, let's do this. We have about 5 minutes. Jennifer's going to try and get our next guest on here at 10 o'clock. So why don't we take a break for one of our sponsors? And also, I found here on YouTube had a terrific American Pharoah tribute. And I thought, what a better way to lead into our next guest. And besides, who doesn't like hearing this over again? But what a better way to lead into our next guest. That is Justin Ziyat of American Pharoah fame. He's the owner, and you saw him on TV a bunch, and we're going to be hopefully talking to him here in a couple of minutes. If that all falls through and for some reason he got busy, then we do have really bad ads for you. So either way, something is going to happen.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Wouldn't it be wonderful if your horse could enjoy a zone of repellency from pesky flies? Well, he can with EcoVet. EcoVet is an entirely new type of fly repellent that is safe for horses and those applying it, offering a real alternative to toxic pesticides like pyrethrins. EcoVet confuses an insect's normal directional ability, the bug's GPS, if you will. So if it can't locate your horse, it can't bite your horse. Dr. Wendy Ying from the Driving Radio Show has been using it in South Florida, also known as the Jurassic Park of biting insects, and she just loves it. EcoVet's active ingredients are naturally occurring food-grade fatty acids that have been clinically shown to improve the condition of horses with difficult-to-treat sweet itch problems. EcoVet is effective on mosquitoes, ticks, noceums, as well as flies. You can visit EcoVet online at eco-vet.com for more information or to order. You can find EcoVet at Dover Saddlery Stores and EcoVet's on Facebook. Just search EcoVet, E-C-O-V-E-T.
They're up. it's Mr. Z who's on the best. American Pharoah on the inside thunders on through nine, and they're coming to the top of the stretch. Three quarters in 1:11 and two, and they're into the stretch in the slot at Pimlico, and American Pharoah has pulled away to a 2.5 length lead over Dividing Rod. And then it's Dortmund, Tail of Verve, a huge long shot, is making a move on the far outside, but American Pharoah is all by himself. He is 5 lengths in front as they come to the wire, and American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Preakness over Tail of Verve.
Great start for American Pharoah, but he will be sent to the lead by Victor Espinosa, so he waits no longer. Right to the front for American Pharoah around the far turn. And American Pharoah continues to lead the way. He's on top by 3/4 of the length. Mook Tahij is off the rail, and now he's a length behind in second, and American Pharoah kicks away. American Pharoah has opened up a 2-length lead as they come to the top of the stretch, and Frosted has moved up into second, and they're into the stretch, and American Pharoah makes his run for glory as they come into the final furlong. Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a 2-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Woo! Every time I hear that, are you kidding me? I start all over with the goosies and the tears. Oh, my gosh. And I bet somebody does not get sick of hearing that. And that is Justin Zayat. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us. You can't be sick of hearing that.
No, I can hear you play it again if you want. I can hear it all day.
Of course, we're talking to Justin Zayat, one of the owners, racing and stallion manager of Zayat Stables of American Pharoah. My God, you've had a good year.
It's been unbelievable. The last 2 months have been like the craziest, most surreal experience of my life. I could never imagine to be happening, but it's all because of one really, really special horse, and we're blessed, we're thankful every day.
Oh, are you still there, Jamie?
I'm still here. Yep. I'm sorry, I lost. There we go.
There we go.
So
can you hear me?
Yes,
now I can. So tell us, Justin, you're a student at NYU. What do you want to be when you grow up? I mean, my God, you own a Triple Crown winner.
This is exactly what I want to do. You know, I've been working through my whole career. Since I've been in the beginning of NYU, I've actually been the racing and signing manager. So this is something that's been, I've been doing in tune with school the whole entire time, trying to balance my time. So I've been waiting to graduate. So this is what I want to do. And I don't think there could be any way to come in to my career better than winning the Triple Crown. I hope we're not downhill from here.
Yeah, I hope you get some sort of valedictorian or some sort of special award. Yeah. Because whatever they give you. So when do you graduate?
I graduate, listen to this. I won the Derby on a Saturday, the first Saturday night. I had to come back after the Derby from Saturday night, sit down on Sunday, and study for my last two finals that were going to be between Derby and the Preakness. So during the 2 weeks between the Derby and the Preakness, I had to study for finals, which was like the hardest thing you could imagine. And then after that, I took my last final the Thursday before the Preakness. Literally walked out of the Preakness, drove down to Baltimore and graduated the day, like 2 days after the Preakness.
Oh my God. Oh, it's you poor thing.
A little busy of a time during that time.
How could you concentrate? I couldn't concentrate on a normal day in school, in college. How about you? I mean, how do you do that?
I
mean, geez.
I don't know. You know, I just said to myself, I'm like out here on a roll. You know, I've come so far. It's almost pure test justice. Just push it through. No, it's so hard to take my mind off winning the Derby and then looking ahead at the Preakness and just like the emotions, and you're just such on a cloud nine. But I just screwed my head on straight for like a good 4 days to sit down and buckle up, and I just said, Justin, do this, and the rest can just be all fun.
Well, he had to do it because otherwise he could have got fired from his job.
That's right. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the big boss that came after me
didn't want to screw that up. So, talk exactly. to us a little bit about your relationship with American Pharoah. It sure looks like he's a big old giant pony. I mean, my gosh, everybody's leading him around and feeding him treats and letting him pet him, and just awesome.
It's unbelievable. He's a big pet, and I think he knows who he is. He knows he's a champion. He knows everyone loves him, and he's the real deal. And I think he likes it. You know, he likes people. You know, he could bring a little newborn baby up to him. I saw once Rosie Napravnik brought her little baby up to him, and he loved him. He loved the old people. He loved anyone. He's just such a lovable horse. What makes it so special is that we've always loved him. Not that it's so obvious to say, oh, now there's a Triple Crown winner, everyone loves him. But no, we really love this horse from the day he was born. You know, for something about him, cliche is something we're special, but everyone, he's on three farms before he ever raced, and every single person who had him, we're just like, there's something I love about this horse. He is special, and gave every single person a good feeling. So, you know, I've had a connection from him from the very beginning when he was born, through watching him grow up, you know, but I can't tell you I thought he was going to win the Triple Crown, but I always knew he was a really nice quality horse that we were going to have fun winning some stakes with. So once
you
live up to that, it's just...
You say that, and you did know, because Justin, I watched a video, I think it was on YouTube, of American Pharoah.
Breeding on the farm as a two-year-old.
Yup, that's the one. And you can hear in the background, he starts breezing, and I think your dad was dropping the S-bomb, like, yep. Holy seat, holy. Yep. And then yep. I hear Justin go, that horse scares me.
When he worked that day, I always knew he was good, but when he worked that day, we brought all our trainers to the farm. We had about 30, 35 two-year-olds working on the farm, and they're really nice ones. You know, like El Kabir was there, Mr. G was there. A lot of good horses we have this year were all working on the farm, and just they all worked really, really impressive and nice. But then Pharoah came out, and everyone was just like, oh, my God. Like, everyone's jaws dropped instantly. And that's everyone just like, I want this horse. Some trainer's like, I'll give you my daughter if you send me this horse. every single person wanted the horse. And actually, you know, I've had Pioneer and I was trained by Bob Baffert. We've had a lot of success with Bob, and it kind of just, you know, the Breeders, I was thinking more along Breeders' Cup at the time before even Kentucky Derby. So that's why we sent him to Bob in the West Coast there. But, you know, he did a superb job with the horse his whole career.
He really has. Now, I would be remiss if I ask you. So I watched, I teach, you know, some teenagers riding lessons, and I watched the pretty much every race with a room full of teenage girls, and some are 19 and some all the way down to, you know, 15. And every single one of them, when they saw you on the screen, they go, is he single? So I have to ask you if you're single, because all these girls thought you were just the cutest thing.
You're breaking up, Justin. We didn't get the answer. Oh, you're breaking up. Yeah, there. That's a little better. Yep.
I am taken, unfortunately.
All right, girls. Sorry. Simmer down.
Yeah, sorry, ladies. No, I'm just kidding. But I have a girlfriend for the last year and a half.
Is she a horse person?
She didn't just come along. She just didn't come along after the Derby and the Preakness and everything.
Oh, I'm sure you've had a few offers after that, Justin.
She loves horses as well. You know, she's not born in the industry like any of us. I actually met her in NYU. But she's, trust me, living by being with me all the time, you're going to become a horse person, because it's really on my mind 24/7.
She has a GPS tracker on Justin now to keep an eye on him.
Yeah, exactly. I wear an ankle bracelet on that.
That's great.
As long as you understand that's what's going on, then that's good. So take us back to American Pharoah. What's next for him as the racing manager? Are we pointing him to the Classic?
That's the long-term goal, is obviously, you know, to win the Breeders' Cup Classic. That's the grand plan, because no other Triple Crown winner has ever been able to win the Breeders' Cup, because it was done. Breeders' Cup was made at after the last year, kind of when it has run. So, you know, to win the Breeders' Cup Classic would be a grand slam. But right now, we're only focusing on one race at a time. The next race is going to be the Haskell. I'll get second in Monmouth. And then after that, who knows? You know, the Travers could be up in the air, the Pennsylvania Derby. There's all a lot of, but we're just going to really, really let the horse tell us. Take it one. I know that sounds cliche, take it one race at a time and let the horse tell you, but really, where are you going to let him tell us when he's ready?
I assume when you're in this position, tracks from all over the country are begging you to come to their races.
Yeah, well, everyone. Every single person wants America Fair to come to their track. You got congressmen calling to bring them to their stage. And every person, America's unbelievably cool. You know, I never thought like something this would happen. And now, you know, you kind of, you have the horse that everyone wants. So you kind of make the calls, you say what you want, and then they're going to basically do what you want. So it's pretty. It's pretty cool, but at the same time, it's also a big responsibility to own a horse like American Fairy. Now,
you can't screw it up. That's right.
Exactly. You know, exactly. You know, but we take a responsibility. Now, I guess we're more visible owners out there, so whatever we do is going to be under the microscope, boss. So we have to really make sure that whatever we do, you know, we're in good taste, and we want to really remember American Fairy, who he was.
Justin, we're losing you a little bit again. I just wanted to...
Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you need to take some of those winnings and get a new cell phone, okay?
Yeah, seriously, I don't even know.
Justin, I have one thing. I follow you on Twitter. By the way, you need to follow him on Twitter. It's Justin Zayat, Z-A-Y-A-T. And I noticed yesterday, you guys just got a couple of really cute horses into the stable, a Creative Cause filly and a Dialed In colt.
Correct. You know, it's the auction season now. Just because we won the Triple Crown doesn't mean, you know, now that I've won the Triple Crown, it was so much fun, I want to do it again. You know, so right now, I'm trying to go buy the next Triple Crown. I'm going to try to buy the next Triple Crown to win it. So for the sale season now, so for the next couple months, we're kind of gearing and stocking up on our crop for the next year.
Well, there were three in the 70s, so there could be three in this decade, I guess. I mean, you know, not to take anything away from AP.
Hey, I'm just so happy to own one horse as American Pharaoh.
Before we let you go, I've seen so many things from California Chrome fans, and I'm a California Chrome fan, that are saying, you know, it'll be the race of the century if we could get these two horses up against each other. To me, I mean... There's obviously one horse that's better than the other, but are you looking forward to maybe seeing him in the Travers or seeing him in the, or do you not really care?
I'd love to face California Chrome. You know, I don't think he's going to run in any other races that we're going to run in anytime soon because they're restricted to 3-year-olds and he's a 4-year-old.
Okay.
The race like the Breeders' Cup Classic, which is when we take older horses, he could for sure be in there. I'd love to take him on. You know, what better competition could be two Derby winners taking on each other? Derby and Preakness winners, in fact.
You know,
I have my own opinion. I will come out, you know, I'll be excited to take him on, but...
How about an old-fashioned match race, Justin?
Yeah,
an old-fashioned match race.
My ears are all open. I'm open to all ideas, you know, or just whatever is best for the horse, best for the racing industry at the time.
Well, you know what? We'll have you both show up on trains like the old days. You know, you can wear clothes from the 1920s. And we'll have the old announcers there.
Oh, make it happen.
Well, Justin, we can't thank you enough for joining us on a Friday morning. What is the rest of your day like? Have you already been to the track?
I actually went to the track early in the morning, looked at some of my 2-year-olds training, which is fun. Now I got to head back to the office. You know, I got to go to office work.
He's a college graduate. He's in the grind now. So you're,
right.
You're
in the grind.
Partying's over now.
Well, listen, please give American Pharaoh a carrot from us and tell him that we love
him.
We're huge fans.
I will, for sure. I'll see him next week. So I'll definitely do that.
Please do, and please bubble wrap him while you're there. Just throw
We are, trust me. Give me the gold.
All right, Justin, thanks so much for joining us. You have a great
day.
Thank
you very much.
All right, bye.
What a neat guy, huh?
How
it was fun.
Funny. Could you imagine studying for finals in between the Derby and the Preakness when you have a potential triple crown horse? Oh, my God.
How could you focus on anything? I mean, it's just at 23 years old to be the position he's in, he's got a hell of a career ahead of him.
Yeah,
he really does. Yeah, very cool, and he's fun, too, so I like that.
Sorry, girls.
He's taken. Some NYU co-ed. He ain't
married, though. I didn't want to say you ain't married. No ring on that finger.
Yeah, because she's probably listening. So, And I love how he qualified that he met her before fame.
Oh, yeah.
I love how he qualified that. She's not a money-hungry one, you know? So I love how he qualified that. It was really cool. Awesome. And, you know, he's fun to follow on Twitter. If you follow him on Twitter, he posts pictures of all their new horses and everything coming in. There's a picture of him in there looking like a jockey in Victor Espinosa's outfit. Yeah, silks. It's really cool. He's really got a great sense of humor, and he's a lot of fun.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, that's terrific. Well, you missed it earlier. And thank you, by the way. We can't be remiss in doing this. We have to thank Dawn Deems, our listener, because she is the one that set that up. So thank you, Dawn.
She stalked him for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard get, and she really did do that. So thank you, Dawn. You're terrific. You are terrific. And if one of the other listeners wants to come through with Carrie Underwood finally, would be appreciative if you could
Glenn,
get that done.
You keep saying that.
I know, but nobody's done it.
You would get her on here, and you would trip over your own tongue. You would not know what to say to her. You would you would embarrass yourself.
I would be very embarrassed. Well, I have an announcement. We have a special thing coming up this weekend. By the way, Really Bad Ads will be back next week. Hang in there. We do have an announcement I'll get to in just a minute. I wanted to let you know we did our review while you were sleeping of of the Minion movie, and we gave it no flakes. Nope.
The whole bale?
We didn't give it a whole bale either. We gave it zero flakes. And the reason is it got three great big round bales.
Oh my gosh.
Three great big round bales. It was so much fun. You guys will have a blast.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
You'll have a blast. Now, maybe you won't. We like opposite things. So, you know, maybe you'll go in and say it sucked and you didn't laugh the whole time. But I have never heard Jennifer laugh so hard in a movie ever. She was just cracking up the entire time. The kids were having a great time. It was very much Warner Brothers Roadrunner. Going back to
good.
Yeah, it was not modern. You know, this was very much slapstick, blow 'em up, dynamite kind of Roadrunner comedy. It was not like modern cartoons that are politically correct. This was very Warner Brothers. So if you like that, you're going to like this. It was very, very funny.
Well, good. I can't wait to see it. And for those who haven't seen 50-1, I don't want to give it away, but Mind That Bird does win the Kentucky Derby.
Again?
He won it again. I love going to, I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Redbox and Taco Bell.
You actually found it at Redbox?
Yes, it was
really?
At Redbox. I was so excited. And it's just a funny story. I'm standing behind these two guys that are just, I'm listening to them at the Redbox. Just, they were so dumb.
Figure out Redbox?
Kind of college age guys, and they didn't know what the movie they wanted to see, and they're calling people. It was taking forever. And finally, I'm standing there just waiting. And they turn around, they're like, do you want to go ahead of us, dude? Because, like, we have no idea, like, what we want to watch. And they were so stoned that I don't know how they got to the Redbox. Like, I don't know how they found it. Their eyes were bloodshot. And then as soon as they turned around, I smelled like there was like a cloud of smoke that came out of their clothes. Yeah. And I just said, yeah, let me go first. That'd be great. Thank you. They're like, you're going to be like here for like ever, dude.
That's funny.
Oh, I just thought, oh my gosh. Like, thank God I'm not 23 and have to date dorks like that again. So I found 50-1. I've squealed with excitement, and I grabbed a bottle of red wine at the CVS.
See, and that was at the CVS.
Yeah. Taco Bell.
That's where everybody goes for their red wine.
I'm in wine country and I got CVS red wine. It was right there. It was where the red box was.
Well, I apologize for everything we said about you in the first half hour.
Am I going to have to go back and listen? And am I going to get mad?
No, you're not going to get mad. Oh, fortunately, though, you know how I like to be overprepared for the shows in case somebody doesn't show up. I actually had news stories, and I was going, well, I won't need news stories. Jamie will take up the first half hour, and then we have guests. We'll be fine. I'll get a couple news stories. Thank God I did. But
what news stories?
I did four Daily Winnies today.
Are you serious?
Yes, just to kill time.
Did you give me a Daily Winnie?
No, we did not give you a Daily Winnie, but we did have a little fun at your expense.
A little extra sleep?
Yes. That's no problem. It's all good. There's one really bad ad I want to read that ties into that, and it's something to not do. This was sent in by Jody, who sent in, and this is the bad, really bad ad. Professional horse riding helmet, $40. I have a 4-H approved professional riding helmet. It was only used 1 year for 4-H and only worn a couple of times. It's in good condition and clean. It has a couple of small cracks from being knocked off the horse. And the foam body has some scratches as well. Do not buy used helmets.
Please. Oh. Please. Oh. Don't buy used helmets and replace your helmet. You know, every five years?
Yep.
Okay, good. Then I'm still
and
safe.
If a helmet, and this we'll say this tomorrow over and over and over again, but I wanted to say it today. When I saw this ad, I went, oh my God, I can't believe somebody's trying to do this. Because one of the things we talk about in there is don't buy used helmets. And if you fall off and hit your head, do not use that helmet again. Buy a new one. So if it has small cracks, it's not usable.
I had a friend that had a head injury on a horse. She flew off the horse and hit the jump head first and was in a coma for 2 weeks and just had all these horrible things, made this huge recovery. And I didn't meet her until after. And she rode at a farm that I boarded at or I taught at. And so she comes back and they're all like, she's back. And she's out riding her horse again. You know, everybody just thinks it's amazing. And after her recovery, you know, being out on the horse for about a month, you know, she finally kind of confessed the whole story to me of what happened. And she was like, here, look at my helmet. And she's wearing
the same
helmet that she came off on. And she's like, yeah, see, it cracked over here. Like, get yourself a new helmet, girl. What are you doing? They're supposed to get new stuff. Oh my gosh. So she was like, really? I didn't know. And so she got a new helmet. But you're not supposed to, if you get a big crack to the helmet, please just get another one. $40-$50, however much you want to pay.
Price
is worth
isn't
it.
Even a concern. You can buy a $1,000 helmet. You can also buy a $40 helmet. They're all approved. So, cost is not a concern anymore. You know, the one thing I forgot about for all you with kids out there is until we did the recording of this show, I said to Lindsay after, I got to check my bicycle helmet. You know, my bike helmet?
Right.
And I went and looked. It was 9 years old. And I could have sworn I just got that yesterday. So, you know, keep that in mind, too. Not only does that apply to... And then I looked at it closely, and the foam is starting to deteriorate. So that also applies for bike helmets and every other, skateboard helmets, whatever. That all of that applies to all kinds of helmets. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, I just replaced all of my lesson helmets that I use with the kids.
Oh, they tend to be 20 years old.
Not mine because I'm a little bit more particular about it. But I got the Ovation ones that twist in the back, tighter and looser. Such a great idea if you have kids.
Yes.
Adjustable helmets that grow with them. So every 6 months, you're not buying a new one or whatever. So definitely consider that. It'll last the 5 years.
Yeah, the bike helmets are made that way now with the little turning thing knob in the back.
Yeah.
And it is really nice because I can hand that to Jennifer and she can wear the same helmet.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Then she's got to put on your sweaty ass helmet. Nobody wants that.
That's true. And that's the other reason not to buy a used helmet. It's gross. So let's let you get back to the Mustangs. You got work to do.
I need to go stretch and stuff. I'm so sore. Working my butt off. But I think this weekend we have, we're going to the Maverick Saloon. Monty is taking all of us to the famous saloon. If anybody has seen the movie Sideways, have you seen that movie?
No,
probably
that
not.
Doesn't ring
a bell. It's with Paul Giamatti, and it is so odd and so funny, and it's about wine tasting. And there's a famous part where a guy runs down the street naked, and that actually happened right outside the farm here. The part where he ran on naked, and the Hitching Post is the restaurant that Paul Giamatti goes to every night. That's also right outside of this place. So fun, because Chad and I love that movie and we've seen it a bunch of times, and to see all the things that go around it. So there's a famous pub, the Maverick Saloon in San Ynez, that has been the site of many, many movies and films and videos. And so we're going to go to that place, I think, Saturday night. There's a polo match to go to on Saturday. It's just so horsey up here. And then, of course, I have a cross-country lesson tomorrow morning at Shepherd Ranch with Bunny Sexton, who was on our show a little while ago. So it's going to be a horsey weekend for me. I haven't planned anything for Sunday. I'll probably just pass out.
Did they give you Sunday off? Do you have a rest day?
Saturday and Sunday is off. But of course, Monty doesn't let anybody have a day off. Right. He doesn't take a day off. So we have stuff planned for every minute already. I don't think they have anything planned Sunday, but I'm sure he'll fill it up.
Well, I gave one of my Daily Winnies to Linda from Canada, who sent us that very nice email. And Linda said in that email that I need to go out there and make sure that I get out there, Bob, Jennifer and I. And we just did confirm that with Debbie yesterday, that after we leave your place and visit you, we're going to do some of the Arizona stuff, and then we're going to head to California. We're actually going to do that Monday morning, then the week after we're going to do the show live from the farm. So we're going to try and get Bunny over and a couple of the local horse people over to do it live with us. So we are going. I'm just saying, we are going. So we're getting that confirmed. We're going to buy the tickets right after the show today. So Jamie can't pick on me anymore about not visiting her in Arizona after, almost 5 years, over 5 years of doing the show. We're coming. So whether you like it or not, we're going to be there.
I'm so excited. Yay.
We're coming.
Can you just send Jennifer? Just bring Jennifer.
You she asked for right. this. You've been bugging us for 5 years. Now you have to pay the price.
I never thought it would happen.
That's it for today, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll be back here. Well, one of us will be back here on Monday morning. We'll see if Jamie makes it.
I'll be here. Sorry.
No
Don't
problem.
Dock my pay. I made it. I did the
No,
I'm interview.
Just busting your chops. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a terrific weekend.
Spay, neuter, geld. Have a great one.
Thank you to Dawn Deems again. Appreciate the help. Carrie Underwood, if anybody knows her, just...
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, that'll work. Whatever. Hunky girl, hunky guy, either way.
God, he's gorgeous. Sorry. Turn this off.